Isaac and Jacob and Noah and other great men of the Bible, Paul and others. Because their faith was so strong, and sometimes as I read, I do even today feel very inadequate standing before you and talking about a man like Abraham and the promise that was made to Abraham. So I hope this afternoon that you will stay awake. A while ago, we lost our place in a line. Becky said, "You snooze, you lose." And I said, "Well, at 1:15, you snooze and you lose." So anyway, we appreciate you listening carefully. When we make a promise, I mean by that we have made an agreement, or at least some sort of a contract to fulfill an obligation. When we talk about the Abrahamic promise, we are discussing this afternoon an agreement by God to do something, and Abraham expected the promise to be fulfilled. There is the promise that is made to do something, and then on the part of Abraham, the expecting of that promise to be fulfilled. Now, along the way, Abraham had to deal with certain of those human characteristics that we do. And I want us to notice some of those this afternoon. Time does not permit us to look at all of them. But if you turn your New Testaments to Romans chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, this is going to be the basis for our study. As it is written, "I have made thee a father of many nations." And if you have your New Testaments and you want to underscore, it's always interesting in study to notice and underscore some things. But he says, "I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." As I was thinking about the text, I thought, first of all, we know for a fact that Abraham believed God. He believed in God. That is certainly a basis for our study. But not only that, "who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations." Now note, "according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Brother West this morning talked about the Word of God, and Brother Varner talked about the inerrancy of the Word, and Brother Pugh talked about the evidence that we need to study and understand. It's interesting to note as we look at these words that Abraham believed in God. He also recognized the importance, according to these verses, of hope and the concept of belief. And not only that, but also the things which were spoken by God. As a result of that, we look at faith and we look at love and we look at hope and all of these things that many of these other speakers are going to talk about, because I don't want to overlap that. I was told to stick to verses 17 and 18. But as we look at this, we know for a fact that God is faithful in all things. I don't know that we comprehend that, or maybe we try to comprehend it or understand it, but I don't know that we have a real grasp on it. God is faithful in all things. The Hebrews writer says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Some of you have probably at times in your life with your children said, "Now today we're going to go down to the Dairy Queen and we're going to buy some ice cream." And that's sort of a promise. We have said to them, "I agree to take you to the Dairy Queen." They may not comprehend that, nor understand all that's involved in that, nor may they think about the fact that there may be some things that will interfere with our stating that we want to take them to the Dairy Queen to get some ice cream. So their thinking is that mommy and daddy are going to take us to Dairy Queen. We're going to get some ice cream. They get all excited, and they expect that sometime during that day, they're going to receive some ice cream. And how disappointed they are when mommy and daddy don't take them to Dairy Queen. How disappointing it is when we try to reach our friends and neighbors with the gospel of Jesus and they say, I'm going to obey the gospel. And then they don't keep their word. How disappointed we are. We expect individuals to keep their word, but oftentimes we don't, and they don't. But God is faithful. He promises us certain things, certain blessings, and God is faithful. He can be relied upon. In the booklet I have in the manuscript, some concepts, I haven't really pointed them out by highlighting them, but maybe you'll want to do that. But there is a phrase that Abraham was chosen of God to be the father of many nations. When I was thinking about the responsibility of this afternoon, I couldn't help but think that God made him a promise that he would be the father of many nations. That is, God selected Abraham. God chose Abraham to be the father of many nations. All that that entails, we may not comprehend it all, but God selected Abraham to be the father of many nations, who against hope believed in hope. Some things were involved in the life of Abraham, and I want us to think about this concept of chosen of God. If you will, 2 Peter 2 and verse 9 says that we are also chosen of God. When we think of those marvelous men of the Bible, their great faith and their life in faithfulness, what marvelous examples we have as we think about our being too chosen of God. God has chosen us. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I don't know what you think about when you think of the word chosen, but Abraham was chosen of God to be the father of many nations. That was God's design. That was God's plan. That was the way God was going to operate. And God said, you are going to be the father of many nations. Can you imagine? Just imagine being chosen to be the father of many nations, and that ultimately through his seed, all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed. We are a chosen people too. As a result of that, Peter says we are to show forth the praises of his excellencies because we have been called out of darkness into light. How many times, as we look at the life of Abraham, did he display not only his faith in God, but the reality that God was going to keep his promises? Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 17. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Genesis 17, verses 1 through 5. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Can you imagine that? A while ago, it was said that God speaks to us. He does, through his word. Can you imagine Abraham on this occasion? Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, when we look at those precepts, many of us have already decided that we're going to walk before him, that we're going to be committed to him, because we know that God is the Almighty God. But can you imagine, for just a little while, Abraham called of God, the Almighty God, called of God to be the father of many nations. Abraham, I'm paraphrasing this, Abraham, you are chosen to be the father of many nations. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly." And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations," notice, "have I made thee." Isn't that interesting? "A father of many nations have I made thee." What a marvelous concept to be able to listen to God Almighty and say to Abraham, "You are the one that I have chosen to be the father of many nations." Through Abraham, God intended to bless the nations. Abraham's relationship with God resulted from God's initiative, not Abraham's. Let me think with you for a few moments about that. In the beginning, I don't know which speaker this morning mentioned this, but in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, it was God who created the heavens and the earth. God took the initiative. Everything that God created was good, was it not? Was it not? Yes, it was. Everything that God created was good. God took the initiative. It was not man that created our world. It was God. Whenever God acts, people need to listen. Whenever God speaks, we need to listen. When God says that there are things that we need to do, we need to obey. In the beginning, God took the initiative to create for us a marvelous universe, and ultimately he created man in his own image, in his likeness. It's always been God's initiative, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It was not because we loved God, but because God loved us. God always takes the initiative. Not only that, but when the call came, Abraham responded. Isn't that an interesting thought in all of sermon development? When God said, "You're going to be the father of many nations," Abraham responded on numerous occasions. For instance, God said to Abraham, "You get out of your country, from your kindred, from your homeland, go into a land that I'm going to tell you." Did Abraham do it? Yes, he did. Why did he? Because he had faith. He responded because he believed God. He was the father of many nations. God promised that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. When we were boys, we used to go to Grandpa's farm. We used to go out on the hillside in the evening and lay down on our backs and just look up toward the stars. Did you ever do that as a boy or girl? Just lay there and try to count all the stars in the heavens. Can you do it? Well, we tried. But you soon lose count, don't you? Forget where you stopped and where you have to start again. But the promise was to his descendants they would be as numerous as the stars of the heavens, and that he would give them also a land. Now notice this, verse 17 and 18, especially of Genesis chapter 15, if you have your Bibles. "And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant, an agreement, with Abram, saying, 'Unto thy seed have I given this land.'" Have I given this land? "From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Neither of these promises that God made were Abraham's by natural right. We are hearing a lot today about the earning of salvation and about the earning of a whole lot of other things, that we might somehow merit or deserve our salvation. And we need to answer that. Abraham was chosen of God to be the father of many nations. And the reason for this, at least one of the reasons, was that God loved Abraham. And God loved his people. Recently, I've seen just a few programs of Touched by an Angel. I wouldn't recommend all of them, but I think that it's rather interesting how much they're getting by with as far as beliefs in God. Last night, she quoted, "The devil is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And on another program, she discussed the fact that God loves us. Now, there's more to it than that, of course, but God loves us, and that's true. But you see, the gifts that Abraham received were because of God's love, his faith in God, his willingness to obey regardless of the circumstances in life. Romans chapter 4 now, verses 17 and 18. I'm going to have to hurry because Dad had such a long introduction, you know, a while ago. But let's look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Let me ask you this. Do you believe with all of your heart that God can be depended upon to keep his promises? In all of life, we have to deal with this just about every day in some form or fashion, and I've listed some of those. There are those with whom we work or deal every day in regard to companies or industry that promise to do certain things for us. Do you ever get aggravated when you take your automobile in for an appointment to get something done, and when you arrive, it's not finished yet? Do you ever get disappointed or upset? Come on, tell the truth. So you see, someone has made an agreement with you. They have made a promise to you that sometime during the day, that automobile is going to be repaired, is going to be sitting on the lot waiting for you to pick up. And when that does not occur, they have violated their promise, their agreement. They may take it lightly. There may be things along the way that interfere where they're getting it done on time, but their agreement was that at 4 o'clock you can pick up your automobile. And they did not keep their promise. God's not like that. God always keeps his promises. Of course, if we're God's people, we need to live and work with the same trustworthiness. My granddad Smith, I don't ever remember with his neighbors ever writing out an agreement. Now, he may have as I got older, I don't know, but if he and some of the neighbors wanted to buy cattle from each other, or they wanted to sell hay to each other or give it away or whatever, or sell land, their handshake was enough. That was their bond. When I was a little boy, I asked Granddad about this. I said, "How come you don't sign any kind of agreement?" He says, "Because I trust my neighbors. I know that my neighbors, when they have given their word to me, that they are going to fulfill it." Now, as Christians, how should we view this? If we have given our word about something and we do not fulfill it, what happens? What happens? I think we discredit God. We are saying that we are chosen of God, that we are to keep our promises, but we don't. Yet we claim to be followers of God. We make a commitment. Brother Jim Mitchell and I were talking about this a little while ago about commitment. Do you think with us that it is true that commitment is on the wane? The fulfilling of responsibility is on the wane? And I mean by that it seems as though members of the body of Christ today don't really understand what commitment and responsibility is all about. But Abraham did. Abraham did. We need to live a life of trustworthiness and reliability and commitment and service. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." I think Brother West alluded earlier to Genesis 3:15, perhaps the first messianic promise of Christ's coming. But there were other scriptures that relate to the promises made to Abraham. Let me note just a couple with you, found in Genesis chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, and there is a correction that needs to be made in the book, and that's not due to Lewis's computer or anything, it's due to mine. But in Genesis chapter 12, look with me at verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. There was the promise of a great nation. Not only that, but also in verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. God said, I will make of thee a great nation, I will give unto you this land. And the Bible says, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And then, of course, there was the promise of the seed, that through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Now, let me, by way of our study, look at some references with you in regard to Abraham and Sarah's response to all of this. In Genesis chapter 17, back in the Old Testament again, you know the story, so we don't have to relate it all, but I want us to notice some things about attitudes. Genesis 17, starting in verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, for Sarah thy wife thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed. He laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Pretty dumbfounded he was, wasn't he? To think that such a thing could occur in their old age, so much so that he laughed. He laughed at what God said was going to occur. You know, the Bible, we're living in a time when there are many scoffers. The Bible predicts that. They laugh at things that are said about the promises of God. Just like those of old, they say, where is the promise of his coming? Since he hasn't come, he evidently is not going to come. And so they laugh and they mock and they ridicule. The whole purpose, I think, of Romans 4, 17 and 18 is to show, with reference to Genesis 17, 15 through 22, and also where Sarah laughed in chapter 18, verses 9 through 15, how Abraham's faith in the promise of the seed through Sarah, which seemed impossible by the natural course of things, corresponded in essence to one's faith in him that raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. I don't know if we think as much as we ought to about Jesus raising from the dead, but I want you to think for a little while about Abraham's life. I'm going to make of thee, Abraham, a great and marvelous nation. And through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, right in that same chapter, Romans 4, down in verse 24, it talks about faith in him that raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. I've made this remark probably hundreds of times at North End already, and I think it's valid. Look at all of your Bible, through and through, and I think this is certain. Everything goes back to God. Every single thing goes back to God. I mean by that, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God has done so much for man, but yet we refuse to do what God wants us to do for him. We are reminded of how almighty and powerful God is, but how often do we forget that? It all goes back to our understanding of who God is. And I think that Abraham knew that. Let's notice then, it is God himself that faith fastens upon. My mom, whenever we used to get into trouble, my brothers and Becky used to get into most trouble. I never got in much trouble. All liars shall have their place in Lake Fire. But anyway, Mom used to tell us just two simple words: God knows. You know that's still true. The best advice that we can give our children is God knows. Now, Abraham focused on God because this is the source of the promises. Let's not forget the source of promises that are made to us. It was God who quickeneth the dead. That is, even though it seemed incredible at the time for these things to occur, God said, I have made thee. I have made thee father of many nations before it ever occurred. Can you imagine that? Yes. Because God is all-knowing. God, when he says something, is certain about it. And he keeps his promises. When he says that something is going to occur, it is going to occur. Just because the womb of Sarah was dead, God was going to make it alive. And they were going to be able to bring forth this promised child that God had talked about. Hebrews chapter 11. Probably Frank will get on this later. I don't know. But anyway, verses 11 and 12 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Isn't it interesting that Abraham and Sarah both realized the faithfulness of God's promises? And it came about just as God said, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. It is God that is sovereign. Abraham knew that. Who calleth things which are not as though they were. Reference here in the text is God spoke of the fulfillment of promise which was then yet to be. I don't know what will be on tomorrow. I don't even know that tomorrow we even come. But as you look at the text, even before Isaac was born, before a single nation from his seed even existed, God speaks as if Abraham was already the father of nations. That is, God called things which were not as though they were. And understand this. He could do so because they were certain to be. The knowledge of God, his great power, and his great might. Abraham not only believed that God is, but that he keeps his promises. It's marvelous to be in families where we not only know our fathers and mothers, but we know that they're going to keep their promises. There is a quote in the book that I'd like to share with you for just a moment or so. It's this. The existence of faith in God's promise is completely clear only when God's promise runs counter to human expectation and calculation. You know, so many things in life just go contrary to the way we think will happen, right? Sometimes we plan things without God being included in our plans. We just do not calculate. We just do not expect that certain things are going to happen. Well, Abraham and Sarah, though they were old, thought, it's beyond us that we should bring a son in the world, but God said, I have made thee a father of many nations. Whether one really relies on God's word alone becomes manifest only where God's word is not supported by any rational basis. And Charles dealt with that earlier. We may not reason properly. We may not understand or comprehend all the things that happen, but that does not mean that it won't. Because you see, God keeps his promises. But where, on the contrary, it is opposed to what one must consider probable on the basis of human reason. Abraham and Sarah were old and they thought that they would never ever bring a son in the world. But God said, I have made you a father of many nations. Now let me mention another point. Abraham's faith was the result of two things. Namely, Abram's deep awareness of his and Sarah's physical impotence. And I'd like to just add a little footnote here for your consideration. I think that sometimes we limit God. I don't know what great expectations we have of God in our prayer life or in our Christian life, but we're not too sure whether or not God is going to do what He says He's going to do, but He is faithful. And sometimes it might be that we place limitations upon God. Abraham understood their physical limitations. Sometimes we have those physical limitations. But God does beyond what we think or are able to comprehend. Secondly, the power of God to fulfill His promise to give them a son under such peculiar circumstances. God was capable of doing it. And in the manuscript, I have this thought, and I want to share this with you just a little bit. God did not present Himself to Abraham as His sovereign who had the right to give commands. Well, God being God, I think, has the right to command anything He wants. But if we only view God as a God who gives commands, we certainly have a very slim view, a narrow view of who God is, don't we? I think, that's just my personal opinion. But God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. But in the text, the Bible says, not only that, but He is the Almighty who has power to give life even to the dead. There were those in New Testament times who were dead in their trespasses and sins and were made alive in Christ Jesus. We may not understand or comprehend all that, but I think we understand the consequences of sin and what a miserable life we have when we're involved in sin. In face of the calculations which appearances might help us to conclude about the negative aspects of one's life, Abraham entertained hope because he believed. Gene talked about this earlier. I learned it a long time ago. Hope involves two things: desire and expectation. Take one or the other away, and what do you have? Nothing. Hope involves desire and expectation. He believed in hope. The God of heaven, Abraham knew, was going to keep His promise. Let me close this afternoon with this. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. If there's anything that I want to stress this afternoon, it is this, and bear with me for just a moment. God is an almighty God. God is still in control, and He will continue to be. Our God is a sovereign God. Our God is a God of love and compassion and mercy and forgiveness. But at the same time, we know that God keeps His promises, but He does expect us to do our part, to be faithful and obedient to His will, so that we too can have heaven as our eternal destiny. Thank you for being such a kind audience.